too many people don't want to start a business or don't want to do this because they're scared of failing. If you're young, you have nothing to lose. You should be trying all sorts of things. See what works. Just don't be afraid. Go after it. As long as you know how to put in the work, you're going to be successful no matter what you do.
Welcome to the Lion's Den, hosted by Lance Bachman.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Den. On this week, I have Mike Maven, president of PenFab Steel, top two steel fabricators in the state of Pennsylvania, self-made family business, 38 years. Mike, I thank you for being on the Den. Michael, do me a favor, introduce yourself, tell everybody who you are, and then let's just jump into it. I'm looking forward to talking to you today.
My dad started this company, and I've been with him for 20. He unfortunately passed away years ago, and I took over family business, bought it out for my mom, and we're growing, expanding every day. Business is really good.
I mean, you're excited right now, so let's talk about that. You know, your father was a dynamic person, big personality. Mm-hmm. You know, so I'm assuming, like every other rich kid that counts a rock, you know, you start at the top when you graduated high school. You put you right in the vice president role and you ran your whole company and took over?
Yeah. No. So I worked before I worked for my dad. Yeah, I didn't go to college. I actually went to college for a few months. And then I decided that I needed to keep making money because before college, I was doing construction. I was making a lot of money. And my dad, you know, he kept, you know, saying, when are you going to come work for PenFab? Which I knew I always wanted to work for PenFab. I wanted to work at my dad's company, but I just wasn't ready. And the more I did construction, the more money I made. And then he would tell me what he was going to start me at, and it was a lot less money than I was making. So it was a problem for me because I like money. So I kept working, and then eventually I got slow. I guess I think I was about 23 years old. Dropped out of college after a few months, and then I said, all right, Dad, let's do this. He was really busy. He needed me, and I knew I had to, you know, take the jump eventually. So started at PenFab, and I started at the bottom grinding, you know, sanding, drilling parts, cutting parts. I was, you know, a shop helper. It didn't matter. I was the boss's son, and just went from there.
Well, let's just jump right into it. You're close to your father. Your dad passes away about 3-4 years ago.
Yep.
Bigger than life personality.
Yeah.
How does that affect you and how does that affect the business?
So it affected me a lot. My dad was not only obviously my dad, he was my best friend, basically a business partner. We worked together for 20 years. And, you know, he was the closest person I had in my life. And when he passed away, obviously it was devastating. It was very quick. And with the business, you know, he led the business and dealt with the political part and financial stuff and some of the bigger contracts. I did the more day-to-day stuff. So when he died about 3 a.m. and I had to go to work the next day and now take over his role plus continue doing my role. So it was a lot to take on, but I was happy to do it. To be honest, certain days I was driving to work in the beginning and thinking, you know, how the hell am I going to do this? It's a lot. But I just kept taking it day by day and step by step and kept moving forward.
You know, and I don't mean to make light of it, but everyone thinks being an entrepreneur is easy. They see the watch, the car, they see the house. They just think they're entitled. Like, you felt like quitting.
Yeah.
Didn't you?
Yeah. A lot of times I didn't know if I could do it.
Now you're a totally different Mike and you're confident. Mm-hmm. Talk me through that process. Talk to me about what made you not quit. And it's 4 or 5 years later now, correct?
Yeah, almost 4 years.
Yeah.
So the big thing was, yeah, at first you question yourself. You think, can I do this? Can I not? But then I just kept thinking, you know, I did this for a long time. This was 20 years into it at that time. And my dad and I, we were very much alike. There wasn't too many things that he did in business that I wouldn't make the same decision and vice versa. It was scary sometimes. You know, how close thinking we were on certain things, especially when it came to the business. So I just kept telling, reassuring myself, you know, yeah, my dad's not there with me, but I know he'd be doing this answer. And then I'd listen to advice from other people. And unlike my dad, I like my dad, very thick-headed. And, you know, I'm going to do what I think I'm going to do anyway. It really doesn't matter what someone else says. I may take their advice, but when it comes down to it, you know, I got to make a decision. And so far, it's been great. We're busy, and I got a great team around me.
And your company's growing. We're going to talk about that. Mm. Let's just stick to the family piece of it. I've had my family issues. I work with my family here. Fortunately, knock on wood, everything's good. But, you know, sometimes it's tough to deal with your own family, you know. someone passes away, people think companies are worth more than they are. They think they deserve more. Did you have to go through that? Was that, or was it kind of just like, hey, listen, I'm taking over and everyone follows suit?
Yeah, that's we could do a whole podcast on that. But yeah, so when my dad passed away, he didn't have a will. So working with my dad, it was always, you know, he always said, Mike, this is all going to be yours one day and, you know, and so on and so forth. Well, it was unexpected. He passed away quick. So everything went to my mom, and she didn't know anything about the business, which nothing against her. She was there in the beginning with my dad, but my dad, you know, made all decisions. And so that was a little tough because, you know, originally my plan was I was going to keep paying just like my dad was and pay my mom, you know, a certain salary and everything else. But like you said, a lot of people, they see this giant building and they see this and that, and they think, you know, big dollar signs, but they don't realize all the debt. So when my dad died, we had a lot more debt than people realize, because we just bought a gigantic building probably 6 months before he passed away. So it was tough. I mean, it actually probably really separated myself and my mom and my sisters. Everything sort of fell apart after my dad died because of that. And, you know, people saying one thing, and it unfortunately got ugly. And I think it happens more times than not.
And people don't realize how much work that 20 years. Like you said, you bought the building. Like, okay, well, that's debt over 30 years. Well, no, it's not. You got to pay for all the machines that go into that new building. You got to pay for all the desks that go into that. Yep. Like everything. And banks ain't lending on all that stuff.
No.
So, I mean, it's more to it than people think. And they just, you are right. People come up and they see what you have. They're like, why, these are part of it. And it's right. Really sad at the end of it, what you're doing. You know, but I do want to talk about this. Your dad's a legacy, right? Because, no, let's talk about this first. When I started talking to you a few years ago, and you know, your dad was with us, you guys stopped a little bit, you came back, you knew it was important to come back to grow your company. You know, how are you generating leads now monthly? What's the biggest ways that you're generating leads right now?
So a lot of it is through, I guess it's, well, obviously you guys, SEO and on SEO and Google. And then a big portion of it is word of mouth. One of the big things with the social media and what I work with you guys on, I don't really know, you know, I get stuff that I wouldn't have otherwise because it just comes to me sort of automatically from the stuff that you guys magically do in the background, which I don't know anything about. So I lead it to you guys.
But, you know, like you just said something that's key, I think, a lot of people think because you own a business, you got to understand the digital marketing piece. You're kind of like, as long as I see leads are coming in, I'm getting an ROI.
I don't know anything about this stuff. I lead it all to, I have 100% trust in one SEO. So you guys are it.
If you like this content and you're trying to grow your business, follow me at Lance Bachman and Lance Bachman Digital on Facebook, LFG, time to grow. And when you say word of mouth, let's talk about the reputation with your father, with marketing, everything else. Mm-hmm. You are a prideful person. Mm-hmm. Your father had a big personality. You're a little more timid than him. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, we talked about that. Like, yeah. I'll talk your ears off if you let me. You know that. Yeah. We've been at dinner.
Yeah.
You know, some people are a little bit more reserved. That's okay. Mm. But your father was more like me. He liked to talk. When you talk about his legacy and about the reputation, are you finding it a little challenging that you're not the same as him, or is it kind of like, as long as I keep producing great work and I have great relationships, I'm good?
No, I don't think so. I think I'm a lot more like him than maybe you think, just because, you know, when I'm at work, that's my environment. When I'm in here in the lion's den, this is your deal. this is not my place, you know? So, you know, I'm very comfortable here, but not like you here, you know, like my work is my home. So I'm a different person when I'm at work and than I am, you know, in a situation like this.
You know, you have a strong personality. You obviously have people you lead. Do you think being strong is a good attribute for a leader, especially when people are looking to you? Because when you walked in, your dad's not there no more. You have, you know, a lot of employees. Mm-hmm. They're not sure it's going to survive,
right?
If it's going to withstand.
Right.
I mean, what do you say to them?
Really just lead by example and just keep working and plugging away. And the good thing is, since I started at the bottom of the company, I don't think it was too much of a question what I could do and can't do. People know me, people have seen me there. They know what I do. There's nothing that I didn't do in the company already. It was just more of it without my dad. And it really just keep plugging away and gain your confidence over time. And, you know, for me, once my dad died, it became even more, you know, we just got this giant building. So it wasn't like we were in this old building and I could just do the same thing as my dad did. Now we're in this new building with, you know, four times the amount of bills coming in, and there's no footprint to it. So I got to figure out along the way stuff that we haven't dealt with, bills we haven't dealt with. And it was more important to me to prove that I could do it and to make sure I could shut down anyone that think, oh, he's not going to be able to do it, or he's not going to be able to do what his dad did, or, you know, because my dad had huge shoes to follow. And I knew that, but it just gave me more drive. And then the more negative thoughts or talks I've had, you know, with people that hear someone say something about me, it just gave me more drive, you know. Screw them. I'm going to be that much more successful.
You always have people say shit about you. You can't worry about that.
Yeah, I don't.
Join the line. Join the line, I tell people.
Right.
Here's a question for you. You know, when you're dealing, you guys aren't building little widgets. You guys are building big steel, right? Mm-hmm. You guys are building things for bridges. You name right. it. You're building big things.
Right.
Technology has changed in what you do, right? Mm-hmm. It isn't old school where you're like, reading and praying. Can you talk to me about the technology changes and how you've had to stay up to date?
Yeah, so with technology, so when I first started, almost everything we did was by hand, whether it was drilling holes or cutting plate or whatever. Now, most of our machine is automated, CNC operated, so it's not as manpower intensive. It's a lot of machinery, and with that becomes you shift from a little less shop labor, but more office intensive, because now all the drawings take that much longer to get out into the shop and setting up the machines and everything else. So you sort of still have the same amount of people. They just shift from machine operators and CAD guys compared to, you know, someone drilling holes out in the shop.
You know, what are some of your biggest challenges you face day to day as a leader in your company? You know, people always want to talk about their successes, right? Give me like your top two challenges right now in this industry.
So number one, same thing that everyone else is having a problem with, finding good people. A lot of people, they may not want to do the type of work we do. They don't want to get their hands dirty. They want to start off in a, you know, fancy office building and start at the top and get big dollar. No one wants to start at the bottom. Even kids that go to school at the tech schools, they seem to think they get out of school and now they're a high paid welder when they haven't done any welding besides a couple, you know, practice tests at school. And you got to start at the bottom, learn. Not only is it important to put your time in, but to learn how you got there. You know, before you're welding, you're cutting a plate, you're drilling the plate and all that stuff. So you got to put in the time.
So what's the solution you have for that? So you got two problems, right? Hiring good employees and then people that want to actually do the job. So what are some of the things you're implementing
as a leader? You know, the other problem is, and I didn't say this, it's keeping people motivated. That's always tough because you can't just keep paying people more to be motivated. It's really just finding the right people. I hire strictly on a good attitude. And then if they have a good attitude, I hire them. And then if they have good work ethic, I make sure they keep going up the, you know, the ranks. They got to put the work in. But I don't care. Same thing with my office staff. I don't care if they have a degree. I don't even care if they went to college. As long as they have a good attitude, I'll give them a shot. And if they can do more, then I keep moving them up. So really, that's all I need with me.
What are you doing to address the employee shortage, right? I mean, the government's giving free money out to anyone that could fog up a glass for the last 2 years. I mean, let's call it what it is, right?
Yeah.
It's gotten out of hand at this point, I think. Yeah. I think any normal person that's not getting the money has a business. What are you doing to jump that obstacle?
So, well, one of the main things is I pay very well. So
you hear that, everybody? He pays well.
I like to believe so anyway. And the guys, you know, I'm very fortunate that people that are with my company, they stay there. I don't have a big turnaround whatsoever. So you got to compete, you know, you got to be, obviously the guy's paying minimum wage. It's pretty hard to have a guy keep working when he can make triple that sitting at home. So I don't have to deal with that. But it's paying well and really treating the employees well.
You know, as your company's scaling and you never went to college, how did you start learning numbers? Did your dad talk to you about what a P&L looks like? Because you're dealing with banks, right? I mean, let's talk about this. You're dealing with banks, debt. They want to see P&Ls. Mm-hmm. They'll put covenants on you if you miss something. You have all these business things that most people like head spin, right? Yeah. When you really get into it. Can you talk to me? How'd you learn that? Did your dad teach you, or were you stuck like Chuck at 3 a.m. and you're driving to work and you're like, shit, I got to now figure this out.
So that was part of the problem when my dad died. Like I said, he dealt with the political parts of this and also the financial stuff. So no, he didn't teach me that stuff. I've always been a number guy. I've always sort of been into that stuff anyway, but not necessarily with our business. I try to learn stuff like that from my dad, but my dad was just so busy, and it was sort of hard to learn from my dad because he was so busy and his phone be ringing. He was showing me something and he'd have to take a phone call. So we never really got into that. So when he died, I decided, for one, I have to have a good team around me. I knew I was never going to be an expert with taxes or anything like that. So I got to make sure I got a good accountant around me. I have a good controller. And then besides that, my wife and I went to the bookstore, and every book I found, Tax for Dummies, all that stuff, and any like simplified books, and just start reading. And I was just obsessed with learning everything I can as quick as I possibly can.
What's next for PenFab? Like, what's next? Is it a growing business? You're top 2-3 steel fabricators here in Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. I mean, congratulations on all your success, first of all. And I know you're just crushing it right now. What's next? Are you guys going to expand to other facilities, other offices? Or are you kind of like, let's see what happens?
So right now, one of our problems, or I guess not a problem, is space. We have a tremendous amount of space. We could do three times the amount of work we do out of our building right now. So we're lucky. We have plenty of space. I don't need to expand with that. But we are expanding for business. And one of the downsides is I can take on all the work. There's so much work out there. And we have such a good reputation. We're very competitive. We're all about quality and service. So it's, again, finding the guys. If I can take all the jobs I want, but if I don't have the guys to draw the drawings or do the work in the shop, then it means nothing. And then I'm just pissing off customers because I can't get it done. So that's one of the problems I'm dealing with right now. We have so much work. It's all getting released now. Everyone wants it right away. And that's one of my problems right now I'm dealing with.
Now, you said you're married.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just caught me. And I know your wife.
Mm-hmm.
Does she work in the business with you now?
She does. She works. She manages my schedule, keeps me in line because I don't keep track of that stuff. She deals with payroll. She deals with vacation stuff, sort of miscellaneous stuff. Not full-time. It's a part-time.
Are you going to start teaching her the business? Just maybe, hey, say, listen, I learned from my daddy, didn't teach my mom, didn't teach her. Or what do you think?
No, that's not my plan. I don't want, I want her to have more free time, be, around for it so we can do things together and not stress her out. She's there for the kids when I need her. So really going forward, my plan is I have three kids. I have a 14-year-old son, 11-year-old daughter, and my stepson just turned 11 yesterday.
Happy birthday.
Yeah. That's Jameson. So give it time and see if one of them get into the business. I'm not forcing them to. If they want to, great. It would mean a lot to me. But I'm not going to be disappointed if they don't. I just want them to be happy and healthy. That's all I ask for my kids. So if they're not getting into it, then eventually I'll start looking into if my employees want to buy out the company. So that's the direction I'm going. It's, far down the road, but hopefully one or the other.
Let's talk about this, right? So you're driving and it's 3 a.m., not to bring up a bad situation. You get in all of a sudden, and, I always tell people, I run all my companies by no debt. We've had that conversation. I'm just not a debt. In your business, it's almost impossible. Mm-hmm. Just, it'd be theoretically impossible, right? How do you go and say, I went from getting a paycheck every 2 weeks or every week to now I have millions in debt that I'm responsible for that are on my shoulders? Does that scare you?
It doesn't. I always look to, what's my worst case? If something that's really bad happens, where's my worst case? Because you always got to consider that. And I know I'm a hard worker, so that's half the battle. So I'm not really afraid to put in the work. My dad always taught me one thing that scares me. My dad always says it's easier for a poor man to be rich than a rich man to be poor. So you never want to go backwards, but it's a reality that you always have to think of. If something happens, you got to know, okay, where am I at? What's my worst case?
On the final roar, what would you say? Let's talk about this right before, because everyone that knows me knows I'm not, and I went to school for my undergrad. I went to class for my executive MBA, but I don't believe education is the end all be all. I actually believe home services is. I believe what you're doing is. I think that's the future for a lot of people because people for years have looked down on those type of jobs, and now there's just no one doing them, and they're making way more than college kids coming out of college, right?
Right.
The average person doesn't understand that, that they can't put their hands around it, their minds around it. Do you believe that college is something you have to do more important than trade?
So obviously myself, I didn't go to college. So maybe I'm a little jaded with that answer, but no, I don't. I think you should only be going to college if it's something specific. I think going to college for a business degree or this or that, I think you're wasting your time. If you're going to be a nurse, a doctor, you know, something like that, a dentist, yeah, you got to go to school. But other than that, I think you just put in the work. And, you know, I think too many people nowadays, they get a job, say they don't have a college degree, and they jump from one job to the next for another dollar, $2, which obviously you have to be at the right company. But these people that jump from job to job, then eventually gets to no one wants to hire them because you can see
these
that
people are doing it with college degrees also, so you know.
Yeah, exactly. No, I know.
They both are.
Even worse.
Yeah.
So they jump around all over the place, and then eventually you get to no one wants to hire you because they see what's the point. You're going to be there for a year or two, or there's no loyalty, and you jump. So, no, I don't think it's the top priority for sure.
So on the final word, let's talk about this. Hopefully somebody in your family will take over the business. Mm-hmm. So my question to you, what advice right now would you be out there to someone out there that literally is in the same situation as you, they're ready to take over their family's business? What advice would you give them? Because they're going to be scared, not know what to do. I might fail. I could ruin my family's reputation. What advice would you give?
I'd say as soon as you can, start working in that family business. Work as hard as you possibly can. Absorb all the knowledge that you possibly can, not only from your family members, from anyone else that's there. Knowledge is power. Put in the work and don't be afraid. And the younger you are, you have nothing to lose. Too many people don't want to start a business or don't want to do this because they're scared of failing. If you're young, you have nothing to lose. You should be trying all sorts of things. See what works. Just don't be afraid. Go after it. As long as you know how to put in the work, you're going to be successful no matter what you do.
There you have it. You heard it from Mike Maven. Self-made, never went to college, multi-million dollar business, one of the top steel companies in the state of Pennsylvania. Self-made, doesn't get any better than that. Mike, thanks for being on the show.
Thank you,
I appreciate
Lance.
It.
Thank you very much.